Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. One favorite country ballad of mine has the lyrical hook, "You say it best when you say nothing at all." Quite a romantic concept. The woman tells the man she hears him loud and clear, so he doesn't even have to really say it, but he loves her. And it's often true that we could do a lot less talk and a whole lot more listening to what our loved ones are telling us, even without a word spoken. But is silence better than spoken love? How does God say it best? Now, extroverts are known to reason out loud, to find out what they're thinking first by talking, finding paths to their own conclusions by bouncing ideas off of them, talking to hear themselves, just to find out what they think. On the way there, they may spout a lot of rubbish. But spending words is easy. There's always more words. But do we talk too much? St. John's first epistle says that God is love. He says we must love one another to prove we are on God's side, for God is love. It's his essence. All that God thinks and cares about and accomplishes is done in love. Not just garden variety love either, but the Greek word agape, which means the highest love, the selfless, sacrificial kind of love. We have a God who loves like that, not in any self-serving way. So if God is love and God created everything, that he made us for love, God has great love for us. And how did he accomplish that? God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. For love, he made light. And for love's sake, he made it by speaking light into being. And from that comes all of us. In fact, we can say that every word that comes from God is an expression of his love. John's gospel shows us how God speaks. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. God's Son is called the Word, meaning the divine reason expressed, that which defines and orders the universe, doing so by God's speaking. If existence has any meaning at all, it is found in the Word. And therefore, we are not mere accidents. We exist through the first cause, wise beyond knowing, good by every definition, deep of purpose, intricate in detail. The Logos, or the divine word of the Father, is his expression of love. That love is found in his Son. For God so loved the world. Love speaks. We've all been smitten by a deep emotion, though, through some magical other person, and at that moment we're simply struck dumb, unable to say anything, when the truest thing we might say just won't come out. We're scared, frightened into silence, for fear that our words will be laughed off. Should I say I love you? Or just look like a sad puppy and hope she gets the message? Love goes begging. That love of God for each of his creatures is ever present and always offered to every person ever been born. It goes on being offered while we act indifferent, play hard to get, consider other objects for love, other offers. We play the field, we offer ourselves to any other passing object of worship. We may finally get around to this God who died for us. He never seems to give up. I might look him over someday, but not right now. I have a lot of living to do. Love goes begging for some, for many. But now you and I have made that river crossing, found this side is good. The fruit of those trees here on this side, sweet and sustained. We like his kingdom, after all. We're saved from our sins and others' claim as their right. We see disaster looming for them. But love goes begging, and he still longs to reach the hearts of those who are still on that other shore. He doesn't beg out loud. All you can do is reach the male pierced hand, invisibly, for those sheep wandering off the cliff. And here we are, on our side of the river, being quiet. His love goes begging, and we are humbled and too shy to speak. On Palm Sunday, the Pharisees complained to Jesus that his followers were making a lot of noise. Their expressions of Hosanna and Son of David were simply offensive to them. They were the first cancel culture. He countered that if they didn't speak, the very stones of Jerusalem's walls would cry out. The King of Glory was, as a matter of fact, right now entering his own city. It must be said, love must speak. You've been given a language of worship in this church. And although it's kind of too Shakespearean for everyday use, the these and the thous making our expressions sound archaic, yet it's courtly, respectful, and for God it's just right. But for the sake of those who don't get it, translate it into 21st century English and then say it again. Try to put it in your own words. Today's call reads, O Lord, who has taught us that all our doings without charity are nothing worth. Send thy Holy Ghost and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of charity, the very bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whosoever liveth and is counted dead before thee. Grant this for thy only Son, Jesus Christ, say, Amen. Now, how could I say it like I just wrote it right now? My God, you show us that all we do, if it lacks love, will never amount to anything. Pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts with your precious treasure of love. Love that creates peace, unity, and every other virtue, even life itself. We know that without this love, we are dead before you. So we ask this for the sake of your only true Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it is an interesting prayer. It's the same prayer, and it would catch the attention of any listener. Now, how are you going to use that? You've been literally steeped in these glorious prayers for years. They are wonderful prayers, meaningful prayers. You've been marinating in the holy language and structural power of these prayers. It's so much better than what I call the prayers of the just. Lord, we just come before you, and Father, we just... They're very sincere and holy. I know a lot of people pray on them. I fully admit that kind of flat and predictable, and they don't kind of get there. Now, you Anglican have the words of life right there in your prayer book. Just make them your own. Try recasting some of the prayers your way. Even better is this passage of scripture we heard today about love. It's called the love chapter, after all. 1 Corinthians 13. How can you say it to someone in a way that makes sense to them? Let's take a run at it. We can't begin it, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. We've lost them already. They don't know what you're saying. Let's come at it another way, once we understand ourselves. Let's say I had a spiritual gift that let me speak in a foreign language I had never learned, or even heaven's languages that no one on earth knows. Yet if with that gift, I had no love in my heart for anyone, that would be worthless. It would just be noise. Let's say I told of things God revealed to me. I could understand deep mysteries and possess vast knowledge. I could even move mountains by my great faith. Yet if I did it without love, the net effect would be zero. I could give away everything I own to charity. Let my body be burned at the stake. But if I did it without love, no good would come of it for me or for anyone else. Love. possessive, doesn't praise itself, is not arrogant or rude. Love doesn't think of itself. Love isn't angry. It doesn't keep score. Love doesn't cheer for injustice, but is glad when the truth is spoken. Love goes on, even while suffering, keeps believing, hoping, never giving up. Love is eternal. All other things end. Gifts like prophecy, speaking unknown languages, having specialized knowledge, will all be swept away. What we think we know is only part of the truth. When the deep truth comes, all else will fade away. I used to be a child, but I grew up, gave away my toys. What we see today is through rippled or smoked glass. But someday we'll see face to face. We will know God as He is, just as He knows us right now. What we do know is this. Three great gifts are given to us, all of us. Faith, hope, and love. But the highest of these gifts is clearly love. We should all see the Bible as a treasure written in another language, as indeed it is another language than what we speak today. The roots of all modern thought, though, are originally biblical language and biblical thought. We have to unpack the meaning and restate it for anyone who speaks a postmodern dialect in order to grasp its meaning. Maybe that someone is us. Preaching is the art of saying what the Bible tells us, but making it understood. We don't just reread what was carefully read over us a few minutes ago as the epistle of the gospel readings. Deacon Darius, if you're licensed to preach, you'll be so licensed to give this message yourself. It now has to live and to breathe. It has to sink into us. People are literally dying out there. They are. We're surrounded with a culture of death, we're told. Our culture tips its hat to compassion and humanity, but this culture of death celebrates violence, kills its own young, causes millions to cower in fear of just being called racist or sexist or homophobic or bigot, or being called Christian. In the sway of heated passions of red or blue, white or black, male or female, Christian, Muslim, what more important medicine for our ailing souls could be wanted than the message of love? Love is not a feeling, not an arrow shot by some winged baby with a bow. Love is something you decide. It's what you choose, what you do. Love in action, love in words. Love that is courageous is the love we need today. The world is literally dying for it. For love speaks. You do say it best when you speak, and you do not say it best when you say nothing at all. But above all, make sure whatever you do say, it is spoken in love. It would be better to say nothing if it had no love. But it would be best to say the most needful thing to all the people of this world. We love you. Even better, God loves you and loves me and loves us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.